Today's message is entitled Hearts. I was thinking about that as I got ready, and I thought, you know, many nowadays have their hearts set on this or that. Oh, I just have my heart set on, I got a phone call, and I've ministered on a lot of times. I have my heart so set on going to Israel. I have my heart so set on going on vacation. Or Sunday potato couching. Or lawn, what do they call it, croquet? Or going out to eat. That's a big one. I'm ministering a lot to the radio right now. I want to challenge the radio people and the tape people today. Where is your heart? Or I just have my heart set on a new car or a new dress or a new whatever. So that old question, what's new, is just as good nowadays as the opener used to be on how's the weather. Because people are always looking for something new. You don't want to go to the old gospel or minister old gospel, which is always new. They're always looking for the light fantastic and a definition of why they feel like they do. That's because they're not just doing the gospel. Simple, isn't it? Well, don't lose your heart right now. And a lot of people are losing their heart. Well, look what happened. I seen on TV this and that. And they use that for an excuse to lose. I just give up. If so-and-so can't, I give up. And you see a lot of that happening right now. Well, people just lose heart. Anybody in here ever run track? You see people when they're running and where they'll lose heart. And just sort of see it. You'll start to fade a little bit, and then their legs will go a little slower and slower, and they start to fade. Or like boxing. And their legs go, and they start to fade. And so when they have their heart set on something, maybe your heart is set on jumping in the pool because it's too hot today. I remember it was cold. We complained about it was cold. Now it's hot, and I thought to myself coming, I thought, boy, it's hot out today. I says, Paul, stop complaining. There's no heat bills. And so we can get our mind on how hot it is. And it takes over our whole body. How many hearing this? You might have your heart set on iced teaing it this afternoon. You listening on the radio or tape here? Well, let's just lay back and have an iced tea. And you see this on TV where they fall back into the pool. But anyway, when we have our hearts set on something and it doesn't work out, or even if it does work out, we're in the dumps. It worked out. But so what? Because we're always looking for something new. Well, that's over. Now what? Now we have the meat and potatoes, and that felt good, but I want something else. I'll have some cake. Oh, that tasted good, but what's next? You can never satisfy the flesh. Forget it. Don't try to satisfy the flesh. And so people are ready to quit God. You know why? Because they're in the dumps. And in the end it says that many seducing spirits will be loosed by God on this planet to make people just feel, oh, what's the use? I give up. Right? Right? Say amen. That's the truth, isn't it? And I venture to say if there were 1,000 people in here today, there'd be about 30% leave because, man, that's just too hot. I remember at the little church when it got hot. Of course, we have more room here. And everybody'd pull out a great big fan and go at it. I'm not judging you, but they'd pull a fan out, you know, and I'd see all these fans going. Back and forth and back and forth and people fanning each other and everything. They didn't hear one single solitary thing. Are you hearing this today? How many are hearing this today? Do you want to hear it today? I'm talking about this is the end. This is not only the beginning of the end, we are in the middle of the end. And we are, for the most part, bored with the gospel message. Ready to quit God, completely abused. People are running out to the desert, not only to escape, but they dry up out there. Dry up. And if you have someone that's taking you by the hand and leading you into the desert so that you can dry up together, tell them, go dry up. Just go dry up. And I minister this so you can repeat it to other people. Just go ahead and tell them, hey, I'm not going to go dry out. You go dry up. And so we're going to see in the very end here the prosperity hounds, the prosperity teaching people, sitting in the desert, moving in the desert like some kind of a desert lizard from rock to rock, unbelieving because what they had set their hearts on got upset and they didn't become a millionaire by claiming it. How many are hearing this message today? They didn't become a millionaire by claiming it. And in the very end, and I have to minister this, in the very end, you're going to see a lot of deadness and a lot of excuses for not just doing the plain gospel, and they usually will have to blame somebody else. No, it's up to you. It is your salvation, and it is your faith that's going to get you through. Nobody else. And you can't go by what you see on TV. You can't go by what you hear from other people. You go by what God speaks to you. And in the end, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit will have to do all the ministry. Of course, He always has, but now we know that as a fact because we are drying up and we're all, golly, what's the use? God has sent this. There is a separation, just right down, there's like a yellow line in the road between the sheep and the goats. And it isn't whether you're into some great big sin here or some great big sin there. It's because of your faith. And you're weak in the faith a lot of times because you just don't believe the gospel. A lot of people, I think, do not believe the gospel. When they see a move of God, they don't even know it when it slaps them right in the face. Say amen, somebody. It's right there, and they see a tremendous, great move of God, and, well, I don't know if I'm supposed to be involved or not. I'll have to pray about it. I see you bleeding by the wayside, but I don't know if it's my job to do anything. Let me pray about it. There's a lot of people that pray, and they never do anything. And there's a lot of people that read the Bible that don't do nothing with what they read. And in the end, and we have to say this, people, in the end, what's going to happen is this very strong spirit is going to come in, and there's going to come a deadness in the church like never before. But mark it down. Those that walk in the Lord and obey the Lord, just the plain gospel now, not somebody prophesying over you, but the plain, will you do this gospel, are going to come alive like they never have before. And if you'll stay alive, that seed is going to take off to others that have ran out into the desert. You can call to them from Canaan and say, come on over. In 1 Chronicles 22 and 19 it says, "Now set your heart and your soul to seek the Lord your God." We have so many things that we can divert our attention on. And so this exhortation is fitted to those who are already saved. God is speaking to us. You listening on the radio or this tape, God is speaking to you. But it also could be addressed, of course, to the unsaved. And these tapes are going to go all over. I think it's very important that we minister the gospel of Jesus Christ. Woe be it to the preacher that doesn't. And of course, it says, "The Lord your God." And yet it convicts and challenges the unconverted to become God's people. Set your heart and your soul to seek the Lord your God. Your God. And in the end, God is going to say, "Well, what's your excuse?" And you can't use someone else. "No, I didn't say that. What's your excuse?" But first, let's take it in reference to God's people, to the ones here and the people listening that are saved. Yes, I know that you already know Him, but still, you must seek Him every day. Sometimes we get saved and then we stop seeking the Lord. We don't seek Him because He'll give us something to do. Do you have that? In your business, Kent, you won't see people seeking you all the time because you'll give them something to do. Well, some of them will seek you, what next? But some of them won't seek you. Well, then you'll say, "Why isn't this done?" "Well, no one, I didn't know." "How long have you been here?" "4 years." "Didn't you know you had to clean this mess up? Didn't you know that you had to do this or that?" And it's the same way with Christians. Sometimes we don't seek the will of God. That's why people say, "I know the will of God." We don't seek the will of God, just like we don't seek the will of the boss because we don't want to hear from him. "Oh, here he comes. Here she comes. Let me out of here." Don't we do that, hon, in our country right now? A lot of times. "No, you're old enough. You know, hasn't this happened? Can't you see it over and over and over again? Isn't there a pattern being set? First in the natural, then in the spiritual, and people don't seek God anymore." Because He will give them something to do. You know, if you ask God, "What do you want me to do?" Do you believe He'll speak to you? Or you start humming in the middle of the answer, la-dee-doo-doo-dee-doo-doo-dee-doo, so you don't have to hear it. "Ooh, praise the Lord, praise the Lord." Shut up, I want to tell you. How would you like it if your kid would do that? "What do you want me to do, Lord?" "Da-dee-da-da-da-da-da-da, Dad, what do you want to do?" "Da-dee-do-doo." Well, you'd slap him in his face, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you? Oh, no. Yes, you would. You'd say, "Shut up. I'm trying to tell you something." Right? And I'm not talking child brutality. I'm telling you, take your kid by the shoulders and you shut up. I want to tell you something, right? So many times we become Christians and say, "Oh, that's against God." I don't believe that. I believe a sound spat on the seat of the pants never hurt any kid. I wish a lot of parents would do it. I see them out shopping. I wish to God they would do it. Can't pick up a Hostess Twinkie without it having handprints in it. Because they don't want to mind God. It's too much effort. You never hear people saying, "Here I am, Lord, send me. What is your will?" Well, maybe they would have to go sit someplace. Maybe that's God's will for them for a season. And then again, maybe not. See, you still must seek Him. Because you see, that's your life. Outside of seeking the Lord, you have no life. Are you hearing this? Your lifeline. So what are you seeking? And do you have any peace when you're seeking it? Huh? It's like leaving here now and dashing out to Perks. Give me one of them great, big, tall, frothy lemonades. And you sought that, and you suck that down, and you go back outside, and you say, didn't do it. Deny yourself. Have a cup of coffee instead. I don't know. Just deny yourself. Don't do that. Do something constructive. Work up a sweat. Lose 4 or 5 pounds. I don't know. Huh? Deny your flesh. Just say no. Just as a first thing. I'm not talking about that isn't terrible to go seek a lemonade, okay? But I'm saying just as a first thing, just to kind of, you know, not to punish yourself either. But just to do it, say, no, I'm not going to do that. You get back outside and you say, burp, burp, oh, I didn't do it. You go home and the kids are in the little pool and you kick them out, you put your large body in there. Oh, hallelujah. If you don't preach like I'm preaching, you don't get people moving. You either make them mad or you make them glad. One way or another, they get up off it. But after that, we do find our salvation. We must seek Him as a friend. We must seek Him as a sanctifier, as a master, a workmaster. Did you think having Jesus, you listening on the radio or this tape, did you think that you just take Him by the hand and you walk down memory lane? Remember when? Huh? Did you think that? No, you pick up the plow. You feed the poor. You go to the jails. You take care of the widow. You see. You have eyes to see with, the Lord says. Do you have them? And so we have an example to follow. God says, will you be my servant? Well, what are we to seek anyway? I hear someone saying on this tape. David said to the princes of Israel, seek the Lord your God. That's plain. How? By obeying Him in everything. Simply obey the Lord. And I'm not talking about, listen now, we don't go out and willfully sin. Well, we sin, but we don't willfully do it. See, you can sin in your attitudes and be just as big a sinner as someone that commits the crime. I'm not talking either by omission or commission. Let us seek out the will of God. And you'll have some faults in doing that even. But at least you're on the road to seeking the Lord. You're on the yellow brick road, aren't you? And so that we can fulfill the plain commands of God, we have to seek Him. And even those that aren't so plain, we always don't know exactly what to do. But I thought to myself, is anything little in the service of God? I mean, if you can't do a little thing, that becomes a big thing. How would you like it if you just told your kids, I want you to pick up your toys? No, you can excuse them if they're 3 or 4 years old. We're talking about a tiger about 12. Will you pick up your toys? Your automatic weapons? Well, don't they have those? Don't they? Well, Christian boys don't have them. Don't you kid yourself. And he doesn't pick them up. And it's just a little thing. But the kid doesn't even do that. All I want you to do is pick up your M16, your bazooka, your ray gun. And I want you to scoop them up and put them in the toy box. and he can't do that. Doesn't that become a big thing with you, that he couldn't do that little thing? Well, you could excuse him if he said, I want you to scrape and paint the house. And he didn't do it just right. Friends, we miss so many opportunities in doing the very, very small things for God. Because, that doesn't mean much. It means a whole lot to God. A whole lot. Doesn't it? Doesn't it? Well, if there's just a little duty to do, and we shirk that little duty, you know what happens when you do the little duty? It's like when you get women that just can't do their housekeeping. And you know how they get inspired? By getting up off of the Davenport and away from As the World Flip-Flops on TV. And they get into motion, see? Huh? Teach you a few things about cleaning here. Well, that looks pretty good. They go to the next thing. They did the little thing, and now they get into their basement, which, let's face it, it's full of used Pepsi Cola bottles, TV guides. But they're inspired by doing the little thing first. Sometimes people don't get started. I don't know where to start. It's such a mess. Well, just start. God started with us. We were a mess. Right? Lord, I was 40 years old when I started. What a mess! Well, you think God can bless a mess? He's still blessing one. Yeah. There's nothing little, I said, in the service of God. And I think we should have a tender conscience to that. Concerning the little things. The Bible says, even if you don't give a drink of water to a little one. Well, that doesn't mind. No, get out of here. Isn't it irritating, though? When it's a real small job and the person can't do that one small thing, can't I trust you with, my mother, I can hear her, can't I trust you to do this one little thing? Now is that so hard, I ask you? To do that one small thing? Nowadays, I don't want to. What about them? They aren't doing nothing, huh? Now, I'm not talking about kids. I'm talking about 40, 50, 60-year-old people. Now, listen, the falls come a little bit at a time. You start to slip a little bit at a time. Doesn't happen all at once. You start to give up ground a little bit at a time, and you get more and more bored until you become a couch potato. Right? Now, I used to know a fellow that used to say, I never stand when I can sit, never sit when I can lay. That was his motto. He died about 40 years old. I think rigor mortis set in. I'm just laying there. Body hardened, and pretty soon and everything stopped working, and they put him in a casket, and away he went. Yeah. See, rot in the house starts a little bit at a time, doesn't it? Did you ever think about kids that are spoiled rotten? Think about what you're saying when you say that. That kid is spoiled rotten. That means the kid literally stinks. Right? Aren't a lot of us spoiled rotten? Aren't we? Do you realize why we get so much produce and so much food? Nobody wants to pick it up. Praise God. They do not want to take the time to pick it up. Do you believe that? They have choir practice or something. We praise you, Lord, from the highest pinnacles we do. That's fine. Why not praise him from the pinnacle of a pile of potatoes that's donated? The woman came down and she said, she was downstairs and she received a bag of groceries and she said, Pastor, do you minister the gospel here at all? I said, yes, I'm doing the gospel right now. Where? I said, that bag of groceries that's in your arm, my dear. And that 40 pounds of produce and that melons that are out there that you can take all that you want. Plus the witness on the bag, and I'm going to ask you a question. Do you know Jesus as your personal Savior? Yes, I do. Very good. See you later. See, might sound a little bit cynical, but there are so many Christians that you see that aren't doing one single solitary thing, but just thinking that they're really praising God by being alive. They'd be better off dead. God said you'd be better off that you didn't know at all than to know and not to do anything. Well, that's a pretty hard thing to say, but it's the truth, isn't it, Ken? Better that you didn't know me at all than to know me and then treat me like you didn't know what I was seeing. Yes, good day. And it's that kind of attitude that you run into all of the time. Isn't that a terrible attitude? Don't you think that's a terrible attitude to have? To look around at people and just disgusted. Look at these dirty, rotten sinners in here. Does anybody in here minister the gospel? Well, I would like to use you, but I'm afraid, my dear, you would scare them out. You know, we can scare people out. You ever been around spooks like that? I have. Total spooks, total way out weirdos that scare people out. The best way to bring people to Christ is by breaking bread with them, giving them something. How long are your kids put up with you if you didn't feed them? You know how mean they are. You know, when are we going to eat? When are we going to eat? When are we going to eat? They ask that question all the time. Is this here? Okay, just friends, huh? You're a mother, right? You have children? Okay. Okay. How long are they going to put up with you if you just say, well, it's getting there. It's coming. You just keep stirring. It's coming, you're real sweet. Betty Crocker. And you just keep stirring. That's the same way with people when they want to get fed. They don't want you to keep stirring in the pot. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Just about there. Just about there. Want to taste? Whoop. No. I can't. Huh? But that's exactly what I see in the body of Christ with people. They like to tease and they like to tantalize and they like to cause these people to really... Now, are you sure you deserve this thing? Are you sure you deserve your job, you that's asking me? A lot of people go to their jobs, they're working every day, but they're paid for doing nothing. Worthless. Right? Oh, hallelujah. I'm so glad to be down here on the north side. Yeah, and getting back to the sin factor there, listen, the wind of temptation doesn't bring it down, but the sly, secret rot that's in us. That rottenness of our bones. That finger pointing and that continual judging and that continual contempt for people. I think we need more and more, the Bible says, to watch, not only to watch, but to watch and pray. And seek the Lord with our heart and our soul in all things, in the private, in the family, in the business, in the house of God. Because you see, when we walk hastily without consideration, we always err. Don't you have to consider people? Don't you have to consider this person that's standing before you? Are they a number? But anyway, those of us who will seek God's will, not only the will to seek His counsel, who watch to know what His will might be, I'm saying, they're right on and they're happy. You're happy when you give up. Now, you want to know the will of God, and God says, well, I want you to do this and that and so on, and you had something else planned. And you break those plans. And you say, well, Lord, what do you want me to do? And don't dum-de-dum-de-doo-doo-doo-dee real loud when He tells you. And He tells you to switch direction and to do something. And you know it's the voice of the Lord. And so you turn down His counsel. Isn't that disheartening when your children turn down your counsel and tell them something? Don't listen. Hello, this is an inspector from the 4th Precinct. We got your son down here. Yeah? Yeah, there was drugs in the car. Huh? 3 or 4 other boys. Oh, you say it's the other boys. The other kid's fault. Uh-huh. Well, come on down and get your child, okay? Seems like he's the one that's causing all the trouble down here. We're going to get him for police brutality. On us. On us. Huh? Isn't that disheartening? Yeah, I think it is. And so David wanted his princes to seek the Lord to the building of the temple. And aren't we to build up the church? Aren't we? Aren't we to build it up, I said, not to neglect it, not to forsake it, not to rejoice in divisions. Sometimes people rejoice when there's a division. Well, so-and-so is mad at so-and-so. What are they mad about? I don't know. Aren't we that way sometimes? We rejoice when things aren't working out for folks. Isn't that kind of our flesh nature? We all have at some times had a little smirky smile on our face because something didn't work out for somebody and there was a little bit of division called. Don't we have to fight against that all the time? All of us? I do. Don't you? It seems like they're not getting along. Huh? Don't we have to fight that thing all the time? Isn't that a flesh thing? Don't we all have that kind of a thing? No, we must constantly ask ourselves, is this building up the church or is it building up me? And I think so many are busy looking for a move of God. So busy, they never get moving. What are you waiting for? I'm waiting for a move of God. Well, what do you think the move of God is? You have to get up and you have to get moving. God isn't going to use a couch potato. If you went out and there was a line of people and you're going to pick out a worker, would you pick up somebody that was sitting there sleeping or someone was standing waiting in line for a job? Would you pick somebody that was had their shoes off and a pair of bib overalls, one strap on and one strap off, and hair all shuffled all over his head, and he's laying there all curled up? Who are you going to pick? Huh? Who are you going to pick? Somebody that's in walk position. Somebody that looks like they're alive. Right? Now, if you're going to pick out somebody to do some carpentry work with you, and you do your own and you have a helper, right? You're going to pick out somebody that looks like they mean business, aren't you? It's the same way with the Lord, you know. See, the only way you can get some people moving is by a stretcher bearer. That's why when they dropped the fellow down through the roof, Jesus said, hey, these guys have been carrying you long enough. Pick up your cot and get going. Hey, rest period's over. Hey-oh! Next! Right? I hope I'm making sense to you. Sometimes people get so mad listening to these tapes, they'll call back in again. That's good. You know why? If they get mad, they listen. If it's halfway humorous, they'll remember that. So anyway, when you're fishing, use all kinds of bait. Buy the Holy Ghost, whatever. And I thought to myself, why is it in the body of Christ it's only a few who want to take up the building up? There's so many that are taken to the tearing down. Are you hearing this? We've been called to the liberty, the freedom of serving God. It's freedom. Now you're free to serve God. Can you go? Can you serve me? Sure, I'm free. Instead, we have to ask, would you be free 2 months from now to put in a half hour? Let me check my calendar out. Half hour. Well, the half hour you're going to spend looking at your calendar trying to figure an excuse to get out of this, why don't you just give it to God? Right? What kind of looks that way to me? When we got people all over the world starving, and we have all of these talents, they're sitting right in the church, and we're seeing people in Africa, we're seeing people all over, even Russia, China, and all over that are starving to death, and in our own country, when we have all of these people sitting in churches with all these expertise in transportation, farming, politics, all these different talents. What's Jesus going to say when he said, what did you do with your talents? What are you going to say? Well, I didn't know anybody was hungry and stuff. It was on TV and radio all the time. I used to put that African tape on there and play it with the flies buzzing over the kids, and they were starving, their ribs hanging out and everything like that. And you'd turn it on to Oscar, the talking horse. It was a seven-year-old program. Is that Oscar? I don't know. Yeah, Mr. Ed. Who?
Mr. Ed.
Mr. Ed. My favorite. Right? Isn't that true, though? People do. They get into that Mr. Ed or I Love Lucy or whatever. And the world is starving. Not that that's bad. If you have to watch it, pick a time, 4 o'clock in the morning when everybody else is sleeping. You know what I'm saying? And all of these people are starving out there, and there's uneducated people out there, and there's such a lack of love, I don't believe it. Know that? I was just thinking about you this morning. This young guy here reminds me of my son at that age, and he's just got a lot of love. You know what I like about you? I'll tell you what I like about you. You like your little sister. That shows me a lot when a young man your age just loves their little sister. And then she's at that age where they can get irritating. Well, for the most part, you do. I can see it. Oh, you sometimes correct her, but I mean, and the little baby and like that, I think that is so wonderful. I commend you on that. I think that is beautiful. Isn't that right? You see things. If you got eyes, you can see things. Well, you ain't got eyes. You got eyes and don't use them. That's worse, isn't it? And so I think let all that we do, each one of us, build up this body. Take an active part. Bible says we're a city set on a hill, a love city. What's that song, I Got a Lot of Lovin' to Do? Christians ought to have that song. I got a lot of lovin' to do. Huh? Yeah. Or is there another song, I Got Lovin' On My Mind? Why not? And so, let all that you do in personal obedience or in obedience to the church be done with a single eye for the glory of God. And besides, what have we to do with worldly honor? What do we have to do with taking it easy? Isn't our goal the glorifying of the Maker? Our goal is glorifying Him, our Redeemer, our Creator. I said our Creator. Just think of that. God fashioned you in your mother's womb for a purpose. Don't you think we should live to reflect the glory of God? I do. The best that's within us. Of course, you're always going to fight the flesh on that. Well, what'd you say? How are we to do this? How are we to seek? Set your heart and your soul to seek the Lord your God. And I don't think a whole lot of hearts are fixed nowadays. They are like butterflies. No determination. And once they're born again and they're out of the cocoon, they flitter here and there and everywhere. They're on a set of a sort of a get set go thing, like a butterfly. They're never on a get set stay. Shoe fly pie, isn't it? Apple pan of Dowdy. And I don't think there's a whole lot of people that want to set their heart. That means having an intense affection towards God's services and towards His glory. Now listen, we can never do anything well unless that we got our heart in it. Isn't that right? Peter, that doesn't have his heart in it. Just think of that. Or a carpenter that doesn't have his heart into it. You know, the ones that come with the shoestrings unlaced in the morning and the hair's all over and the shirt's buttoned wrong. Isn't that irritating? They got one button so the collar's way up here. Huh? Didn't have time to brush their teeth. You know, come walking in with the work shoes on and the laces are dragging behind them. They ain't got their heart in it. And then they'll stand there tapping their foot. Well, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? Go home. Wouldn't that be honest? I think you should just go home and start over again. We'll see you tomorrow morning. Praise God. Wouldn't that be honest? Well, I bet you have to tell people that sometimes. Say, well, I think we're going to knock off for today. We try to find a way around telling him in a nice way and everything, but actually people need to be told, really need to be told, brother, when you come to work, lace up your shoes, because see, my insurance is high enough now. If you fall, I'm in trouble. Blame it on the insurance company always. They deserve it. They charge way too much money for their services. They're part of the bank anyway, you know. All crimesters. I'm going to send this to my banker when I get done making this tape. And my insurance person. The truth, though? Half-heartedness. And so you're going to build this house, and you're real excited about building this house, right? And you're remodeling or whatever you do, and you're laying there and thinking, boy, now tomorrow I'll put up that wall, and then we'll get that sheetrock, and I'll call the guy in the tape, and you got all these plans in your head, and you're excited about it. And here comes Mr. Frumpty-Doo sliding in there, see? And you had your heart set on getting that job. Huh? They haven't got their heart into it. How about a doctor doesn't have it? Do you want to go to a doctor that doesn't have his whole heart into it? Oh, let's see. Oh, we think we can save this arm. There's a call for you, doctor. Oh, I forgot all about it. I forgot all about it. Golden Valley Country Club, golfing. Yes, I'll be there. Cut his arm off. Don't worry about it. Sew it up. Do you know how many people have only got half of their heart in what they're doing? Man, or a mechanic? Oh, I'll never forget going in, and I had my car. Not just a young man. I had a 1948 Chrysler New Yorker convertible, pea green. It was a beautiful thing, straight eight. I was 20 years old. So I was getting this car repaired, and I come back. There was a guy sitting, he had his feet up on the dash, and he had balls of grease hanging off his feet. And a greasy coverall outfit on. And he had a rag over his face, a greasy rag, and he was laying back. And he was sleeping. Now, this is just the way I am, all right? Forgive me. So I tapped him. I says, "Say, are you on lunch break?" And he flips the thing up. "Huh?" I said, "Are you on lunch break?" "Yeah, 12 to 1 o'clock. I said, "Well, it's 2 o'clock. Now, will you get your greasy body out of my car so I can drive out of here?" Huh? I wasn't saved yet. But you know what? Even if I was saved, I would have told him the same thing. That would have been honest. "Brother, you're not going to fix my car by sleeping in it and charging me $40 an hour for doing it." Right or wrong? Or should I go out and talk about him? "Do you hear tell down there, praise the Lord, and over there?" No, I did him more good. That same guy, and he was about my age, came back and fixed my car for nothing. Because I told him the truth. So I took him out for dinner. And it took us about 3 years to try to pay each other back. I gave up. Or a preacher that's only got half of his heart into it. No, he will not accept half-hearted efforts with price tags hanging on them. "Well, Lord, you probably remember when I prayed for so-and-so, and I want to know your will, but first of all, our prayer hasn't been answered." Do we do things half-heartedly for God? Oh, every once in a while we get into debate. We're worrying about somebody else. "Boy, why didn't they do this?" No, don't worry about those people. Don't worry about why someone did, or the carpenter guy we were talking about, or the person at the dog, over at the dog hospital. You know, you can't, right? You can't worry about them. You just got to go and, challenge them by doing the job and just doing the job until they just, either they get ashamed and walk out or they change. Right? Don't worry about that. See, you can divert all your attention on the couch potato, on the shirker, and all of that, and getting into judging all this, and you never get the job done. You lose your joy. That joy you were having laying awake, thinking about, getting the wall up, and then the wiring goes in, and then I ain't much of a carpenter, but stuff like that happens, right? And, and then we get the taping done, and then the painting gets done, and then I get my money. Right? That's important too, isn't it? Huh? But you wouldn't want to get paid if the job wasn't right. I can just tell by looking at you. See, you're in order. Right? Right? This is the common sense of the gospel, isn't it? Why don't we treat the gospel the same way we do our togetherness in life? Aren't we together? You can go in someone's house and you can see they are together. I mean, there is not a finger-licking piece of dust anywhere. I dare you to find one on the 1,000 pieces of this little elephants and doggies and things that are on the shelves. Right? And to take meticulous time making everything look just right and then tiptoe out of the room. Why not do that for God? Huh? Why not? That's why we lose all of our joy and we lose all of our peace. Because it won't bring you no peace. None of that. Not that it's bad in itself. There must be a resolve. There must be a desire. There must be a panting, the Bible says. There must be a pining away after obedience. Obedience to God, or else we'll never have it. And so, set your heart, it says, then seek the Lord your God. And also, you must use your soul. That's your intellect. I think a lot of people go along like old workhorse horses. You ever seen a person that goes along like an old workhorse? How many know farm animals? You ever seen farm animals? Old workhorses. And you get so old, you know, they just know one place. They know how to head for the barn. Oh, the old gray mare, she ain't what she used to be. Ain't what she used to be. Ain't what she used to be, the old gray, huh? And they go through their life like the old gray mare. Almost makes you want to take out the buggy whip. Right? You know people like that? The old gray mares? I know, I get some response off this tape. I always do on these type of tapes because there's a lot of old gray mares out there listening. The challenge is them, and they, hey, I'm headed for the barn. I don't care what you're going to do. Are you hearing it? When we come to church, we should bring our heads and our hearts. Our whole man should be present. We should be energetic in our seeking the Lord. We should plot and we should plan like we do when we're seeking money. Did you ever sit down with a piece of paper and pencil and you plot and you add up? Well, when I get done with this bill, I'll have this much money and I'll have that much money and I'll have this and that and so on. How about doing that for the kingdom of God? How about it? What's that? How do we seek the Lord? By a concentration of all of our faculties, like a hungering and thirsting man. Like a worldly man goes after money. They concentrate. They concentrate on it. See, because a person that's serving a dozen masters can't serve any of them at all. Well, I could get involved politically. I could get involved in the moral majority. How moral is the moral majority? Johnny Carson might ask. How moral are you? We hear the whole audience. I could get involved in making money. But you see, I must follow Christ. And if you mean to be a Christian, then be Christians. And if you mean to be a worldly person, then be a worldly person. Give your whole heart to the world. Give it all. Be a success at one or the other, or you lose. You don't have the world and you don't have the commitment for Christ. See, a half of commitment is no commitment at all. Bible says, if you're lukewarm and you're only halfway and half-hearted and divided and can't stand, I'll spit you, vomit you out of my mouth. Well, you say, I know I'm called of God. Well, then do it with your whole heart. David says, now. Now, he says, set your heart and your soul to seek the Lord your God. Now, isn't now the time for activity? Right now? What excuse have we got for not doing it right now? And hasn't God sent many ministers to lead the churches? Oh, if you're listening out there and you know that you got a pastor that's been sent to lead your flock, why not go with it? See, two can't walk together and agree if one is a sluggard. One leg's behind. See, God didn't purchase you on the layaway plan. You're not on the layaway plan. You know, you go and buy something and they say, I think I'll put that on the layaway. You're not on the layaway plan. There is no such thing in the house of God. You're not a layaway. Get up. Get moving, all of you sluggards that are listening to this tape. Or you know what? You'll be left behind. Serve the Lord now and look alike. You know, if you're going to look like a stiff, maybe you'll be mistaken for one and they'll bury you. Ha, At least blink your eyes, all right? Something that we know you're alive and we don't bury you and waste all that time. Oh, dig him up. He wasn't dead yet. Well, you couldn't prove it by me. Hath he not, the Bible says, given us rest on every side? So, praise God, shouldn't we use this rest to serve him? We have a rest from care. We have a rest from habits. And when God gives us rest and God gives us joy and peace and love, shouldn't we use that time that we've gained away from all of those other things for the glory of God and throw your life into the great work? Give your life to gain it, like the Bible says. See, we can do real great things and nice things. We can attend to everything that is just and kind and considerate and proper and of good repute, the Bible says. But first, we must be undivided in our service to God. Well, right now, we're here on the north side, we're short of Sunday school teachers. You're listening on the radio now? Okay. We're short of, or the tape, and we're short of witnessing people. We're short of workers. And now is for everybody. Now is for the young and for the old and for the lame and for the halt. Now is for everybody. And don't say you're too old to cut the mustard. Bible says you are a diamond. Give up that outward form. Get some inner resolve and go on out and do the work of the Lord. Now set your heart and set your soul to seek the Lord your God. And come to church. Attend regularly. Now, there's so many that are the TV people that never go to church. They should put a Christian bumper sticker. Have you hugged your TV today? Have you hugged your TV evangelist today? See, there are able-bodied people that don't come to church. Because it's easy to sit at home. And they sit there with Pepsi and feet up, you know, and a bathrobe on. And Frito-Lay potato chips and dip. And crunch away and burp. And it's, oh, that wasn't pretty good. Yeah, we'll send in $15. Yeah, let's, okay. It's easy. See, it's hard to come here and walk all the way down and come into the ghetto. What in the world are you doing down here anyway? See, that's what people would ask you. Well, why do you come to church way down there? Why don't you go to church way out in the valley? Or way out here or way out there? Something had to bring in. Know what I mean? What, you know, you could be going to church out in Brooklyn Park, Brooklyn Center, right? You could. It took a little bit of effort to come down here. And after all, everybody around here is waiting to steal your hubcaps, right? Or hiding behind bushes with blow darts. Right? Well, that's what people think. Isn't that what they think? Oh, don't look puzzled. It's the truth. She's looking like, where did this come from? Well, hey, it's the truth, isn't it? It takes effort just to get up and go 3 blocks from your house to church. It took more effort to come down here. It's hot today. I mean, those are all excuses. I mean, they're good excuses, aren't it? It's too hot. That ain't a good excuse, is it? You didn't use it. God, can't we find 1,000,001 excuses for not doing anything? It's like kids. Well... We always find excuses when we're a kid for not doing the job. Why didn't you do your bed? Well, huh? My arm was broke. Well, you want the other one broken? Go and one arm it and make that bed. I'll tell you, my mother took every excuse I ever had away from me. I learned not to have excuses. That isn't a good excuse. You failed. Bend over. Are you hearing this? And I'll close it. Yeah, Come to church and get involved. See, it's not a duty. It's a joy of every believer to become involved. Are you hearing this? How many heard this message today? As I wrap it, wind it down. Don't seek a doctrine. Don't seek, you out there that aren't saved, a precept. I'm ministering to those that aren't saved now. Seek the Lord. Come on to me, and I will give you rest, says the Lord. Seek, don't seek a man. Don't seek a minister, a choir robe, a prayer, or a Bible reading. That'll never get you to heaven. Ye search the scriptures, says Christ, for in them ye think ye have eternal life. And they are they which testify of me, and ye will not come to me that ye might have life. You can put your Bible reading in place of coming to Christ by faith, and you miss the mark. Trust only in Him. Don't trust in a baptism. Well, I was baptized. No, that's a sign before the fact. Trust in the Lord. Trust in Him. Trust in the wounded head and the wounded feet and the hands and the sword in the side, and trust in Him alone. Set your heart and your soul to seek the Lord, because Jesus says, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and beside me there is none else. That's speaking to your friends out there that aren't saved. And I'm saying, if you had an incurable disease, would you disallow it to be incurable? If you had a wound right next to your heart and you were bleeding to death, wouldn't you seek a doctor? Friend, if you're listening and you don't have Christ as your personal Savior, what a dangerous, incurable disease you have. The mark of death is on you, and there is no life without the Lord Jesus Christ. There is only one cure for your condition. Don't wait. Do it now. Stop quoting what Copel says on TV about Christianity or some of the other flakes that are out there. Well, Christianity is all fake. But didn't Jesus foretell all of this? Don't listen to those people out there if you're not born again. The simple fact of the matter is, the gospel says you must be born again. And don't you wait. Can't you hear the tick of the clock? Can't you hear right now? And shh. Heaven is waiting right now. If you're listening to this tape, there's a great cloud, it says, of witnesses, and they're watching and waiting. It says that the hanging of heaven, the hanging his head in sackcloth. There's a darkening right now of the sun. Yes, there is. There's a putting out of the moon. There's a silence of all laughter, and there's a hush of all music, and there's a stop to all traffic, and the harps of heaven will be still and quiet now, you angels, because we're in the very, very end of this thing. Be quiet, because there's a funeral for lost souls. That's the most terrible, the most horrible, the most solemn thing that can be thought of. To lose a soul for Christ's sake by our poor witness to the world. And it's time right now to turn the thing around. And the worm has got a term, hallelujah. And they got to see the fruit. Seek all rebellious arguments. And even you out there that aren't saved, don't wait for a whole lot of fruit off of Christians. You get saved yourself. The Word of God says you must be born again. Find Jesus now. Let others find jokes about salvation, about the Lord Jesus Christ. Your eternal life is on the line. Put everything else away. And if the preacher doesn't offer you Christ when you go to church, don't go to church there. But when should we seek Him? Seek Him right now, just like people have their birthday. You don't forget your birthday. And we walk around with a smile on our face. You know what day it is today? People really don't care. You know what day it is today? It's my birthday. Oh, isn't that nice? How old are you? None of your business. How about your birthday in the Lord Jesus Christ? When you're born again, you remember the very time you're born again, right? When you knew it. Remember the time and the date and the hour. I can remember it. What do you mean? Maybe sometime down the line God had chosen me, or maybe I was saved. I don't know. I don't know exactly all about salvation. Anybody says they do is a liar. But I do know this, that the more we know, the more we're held accountable. The more we listen to convicting messages like this, the more we're held accountable, because sometimes, somehow, we get convicted to do a little bit better. It isn't condemnation, it's conviction. It's, will you help me? It's Jesus asking, will you do the job? Will you do the job? Will you do the job? And they're all lined up, and some come in at the midnight hour, and they all get the same pay. Isn't that irritating? No. No, it isn't. Because He foreknew, and He predestinated, and He elected to save you on His time and on His terms. There are people out there right now that you'd say, this person will never going to get saved. They say that about me. Just a hard, hard person. And in some respects, I am still hard. But it's been turned around. I'm a hard character for the Lord. Did you know that? God doesn't totally destroy you or make you some kind of a religious person. I pay my tithes and I do things and I'm real nice and stuff. No, He uses your personality. Huh? And you know why God uses me? And uses you? Probably because you're available. You're just available. Everybody else is, no, that isn't quite what I wanted. I had my heart set on being a preacher or an evangelist or this or that or whatever. And we wait and we lose it. What you don't use, you're a worker, aren't you? You're a hard worker? I bet you are. You work? No, but you're a hard worker. When you do stuff, you get it done, right? Yeah, that's what I meant. Doesn't matter what you do, that you're a hard worker. You can see that you're a hard worker. You enjoy working. I'm so glad about that. Because today, we're all going to go up to the park here. And at 2 o'clock, we're going to get it together. We'll be there at about 4:30. And we're going to plan where everybody's going to be up there, so we got our act together. So when we get that 5,000 plus people that come, we are ready to serve them. Do you think heaven's waiting? The tents go up. The guy came, he's going to put up all the tents. I go over to Target over there. 7 bicycles. 12 speeds, a couple of them. Huh? All the food for about 10,000 people. Pony rides. What's the big deal about that? Well, you try to get ponies on Memorial Day for the Lord. I didn't have a way to keep all of the pop cool. I'm driving over here to the produce place, and the Lord spoke to me, and always we think it's ourself. Ask the people at the produce. I thought, good idea, Paul. But when I knew it was the Lord, there was one guy on the very end of this block-long produce, and I didn't know him. He's up on a forklift, and he's a millionaire driving this thing. And I said, sir, I've got 9,000 individual cartons of pop. I have no way to keep it cold. Do you know, or do you, I challenged him. I said, do you know of anybody, or do you yourself have some kind of a truck? Now, I knew he did, because I asked people down the line. They said, he's got the straight jobs. Be like the serpent, gentle as a dove. Work it out. Right? Challenged. Do you have, or do you know of someone that would have something? We're having a picnic for the poor and we need cooling. Oh, that's no problem. I'll give you the truck and the driver, and I'll probably throw a bunch of watermelons in. Okay. Write the thing out, put it on my desk. Isn't that exciting? All of these products that have come in, all this meat that comes in, huh? I mean, it's unbelievable in the business world, unheard of. They'd call it stealing. God calls it blessing. Right? When God decides to bless, huh? Hey, move over or get buried. Right on? Is there anyone in here today that doesn't have Jesus as their personal Savior?